Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We're your hosts, Cameron and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your dirty little ear holes.
Entertainment.
Yes.
For you.
Cam, I'm excited.
Yeah, we have an amazing... We have a rare episode for us to do.
We have a guest on, and he was fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Yeah.
We have Curran 1776, the man, the face, the legend from BattleBox. He's going to talk to us about firearms, and we're super excited about it.
Yeah, firearms, it's always a tough thing to talk about because you got the hardcore people that think they know or do know.
Yeah.
And then... there's just us.
Then there's us, yeah. So it was is a little bit more of a basic conversation, which we wanted to have because a lot of people are at that level. So we're excited for you guys to hear it. But first, guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional-grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com. And Cam, it's also sponsored by who?
Survival boxes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yep. Go for it.
If you are a casual prepper, Kobe, outdoor adventurer or survivalist, you need to check out survivalboxes.com.
You do.
Survival boxes are packed with practical survival gear, long shelf life storable meals, survival water, or filtration supplies, survival knowledge, content and information, and even non-GMO heirloom seeds to grow your survival garden. That's all in that freaking box.
Ton of stuff, man.
Check out the new Survival Boxes subscription lineup or shop the improved survival store to get your survival supplies and gear from all the best brands at a discounted price. Choose a Survival Box subscription that fits your outdoor adventuring lifestyle or casual prepping plan. Your Survival Box retail values will always be greater than your purchase price, even beating Amazon cart prices. Guaranteed, I've seen this. There are no contracts, and you can cancel whenever your subscription you want, but yeah. I almost had it.
You know, we were so close.
So head over to survivalboxes.com and don't forget to use the promo code CASUALPREPPERS at checkout for 10% off your first box on any Survival Boxes subscription or survival store purchase.
Beautiful.
You need to go and do it.
You do.
It's totally worth it.
Do you know who else we need to talk about? The man Curran. Like we said, he's from BattleBox. They're so good. BattleBox is just fantastic. We've been with them for a very, very, very long time, since Mission 8.
Yeah.
What mission are we on now? Like 60?
Holy, it's close to 60, yeah.
Balls. That's a long time. BattleBox, it's...
is it 60 coming out?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
60. It's the monthly subscription box for men full of solid gear for adventure seekers, survivalists, outdoor enthusiasts, and... casual preppers. Each month, BattleBox sends you the coolest selection of hand-picked outdoor survival and everyday carry gear, all valued at far more than what you'd normally pay. You never know what's in the next box, but here is a sampling of what users received this month. There was a BattleBox beanie, which Cam tried out on Instagram.
Love it.
Loves it. The parabolic mirror solar fire starter.
Coveted.
That was cool. Yeah, yeah, coveted.
People have wanted that.
Yeah, the DEFCON 5 Zulu throwing knife set. My favorite was the Survival Frog Quad Pro Solar Power Bank with wireless charging. Now, that's something.
It is
that
something.
That thing is freaking sweet. You know, all this badassness starts at about $30 a month. They've shipped almost a million boxes and won Best Men's Subscription Box of 2017. Our listeners get a free tactical knife when you sign up at trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. That is trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. Get your first battle box plus a free tactical knife at trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. And speaking of BattleBox, we now have our interview with Curran 1776, Firearms for Preppers.
Let it rip.
Let's do it. All right, everybody. We want to welcome into the virtual studio Curran 1776, the man from BattleBox. What's up, man?
What's up, Internet?
I'm so happy he started with that, the catchphrase.
I mean, technically, that's where we're
this
living
is where
right
he's going
right?
to end up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been asked about 8 million times to do an episode on firearms or guns. And
okay.
And so the problem with that is that we're dumbasses when it comes to guns.
And a lot of other things.
Oh, come on now.
And a lot of other things. So we said, man, who do we know that knows a little bit? And Kern's name kept coming up. So we shot him a message, and he was so kind to say, hey, I'll come on and I'll,
that's sweet,
I'll learn the people.
Yeah, since I'm the expert and everything.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Right.
So,
I know a few things.
That's what we figured. So maybe you could just take a quick sec and let the folks know kind of your background and, you know, what's your experience with firearms and all that kind of stuff.
Luckily I was fortunate enough to grow up around them, mm-hmm. Which I think is a huge, I don't know if advantage is a proper term, but mm-hmm. I grew up around them. Obviously I'm still alive. So, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Mm-hmm. And, I guess I'm living proof of that. I've been around guns my entire life, ever since I was a child. So luckily I grew up around them. My dad, he liked to hunt and fish and all that. And obviously we had, firearms around for home protection. Luckily we never had to use them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody wants to, because that's a life changing experience in of itself, no matter what the circumstances. Right.
Yeah.
So, grew up around firearms, my dad, his brothers, my uncles and all them, they hunt. And also I was, introduced to firearms at a very young age. I actually still have my very first firearm that I got. I want to say I was in third grade.
Gosh, dang.
I got a .22 single shot bolt action rifle from my dad for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we went squirrel hunting and had a big old time and everything. So that was my first firearm, first gun that I got a chance to call my own. Obviously I didn't have free reign to do whatever I wanted to. Right. but it was my firearm and I was responsible for it. When my father was around. So, a lot of target shooting, a lot of squirrel hunting, things like that. And the number one thing was I was taught to respect firearms. Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing. A firearm's an inanimate object. I mean, it can do absolutely zero without human interaction. And if you know how to properly use a firearm, you understand safety rules, you understand how the firearm works, you know, what makes it work, the whole nine, you're never going to have an issue with a firearm if you follow those basic steps. Being safe with it, respecting it, and you know, it's a great thing. I mean, marksmanship is something that I grew to love. I graduated kind of from shooting around with a .22 to moving on up once I got older to, you know, more powerful firearms. I'm not much of a pistol guy. I like long rifles and shotguns, but I do have pistols and I do know how to use them. But it's just a great thing getting out with your friends, shooting targets, learning ballistics, learning, you know, different firearms, what their capabilities are, et cetera, is just a lot of fun. So hunting, fishing, doing all that sort of stuff, was my gateway drug, if you will, the firearms. As I got older, I got into shooting some competitions, long range competitions with some friends. I did IDPA for a little while. I tried to get into the pistol world, but immediately learned how expensive ammo was to compete. You had to spend an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
So that kind of fell to the wayside, and I stayed, you know, shooting long range competitions and stuff like that, which, you know, brought me into building my own firearms, you know, for competition purposes and all that. So, that's a little bit of my background. I wasn't in the military. I wasn't a marksman in the military or anything like that, but, mm-hmm. I always have had a love for being able to put a bullet in the exact spot that I want to put it, you know?
Yeah, but, for sure. And you actually had, and still have a YouTube channel where you did a lot of reviews and things like that, right, with firearms?
I did. I still have the channel. I don't so much do firearms anymore because, of course, how YouTube is, all that sort of stuff. I've had many videos taken down just because I have a firearm in it. I mean, I've even had videos taken down of me taking my kids hunting.
Yeah, ridiculous.
You know, oh, my gosh.
It's ridiculous. So I kind of shied away from that a little bit just because, you know, you get enough strikes, they end up taking you down altogether, and yeah. I don't want to do that. So by no means do I agree with it, but in some things you just got to, you know.
Yeah,
grin and bear it.
Back and chew the fat, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And so if people don't know, what is your affiliation now with BattleBox? Because, I mean, obviously BattleBox is a huge part of what we do, a fantastic sponsor of the podcast. Give them a little rundown of kind of what you do for that fantastic company.
So here at BattleBox, I guess just to kind of take it back a little bit, to start out with my first BattleBox video, I was a customer. I mean, I was not affiliated with BattleBox in a business sense at all, other than, you know, I just wanted to make cool YouTube videos. So I saw BattleBox ad. I don't think it was an ad. It was a post on Instagram. And I was like, man, that's cool. So I got to digging in. This was right at the inception of BattleBox. I mean, there was very little information out at the time. I think BattleBox as a company was only out for a couple weeks at that time. So I was like, I want that, you know. So I joined and, you know, started doing YouTube videos on it, and it exploded. So for whatever reason, people like to watch, you know, a bearded redneck act crazy on freaking YouTube opening boxes, you know. So so I did that for several months. I want to say I probably did it for a little over a year before, you know, they offered just to send me a box, right? And so I built a good relationship with them through that. And then a year later after that, so almost 2 years later, they decided to hire me because I kind of inadvertently became the face of the company.
Yeah.
They put my videos on their website, and people started associating Kern 1776 with BattleBox and vice versa. It just became a marriage. And so I took the job. So now I'm technically the VP of marketing here. I don't know if I really own that title all the time. I'm more just resident redneck around here, mechanic and everything else that needs done. But obviously I do the videos. I do, like, when you go to the website and you look at the pictures, I take all the pictures. I do, you know, any of the social media content and things like that. And also, you know, I help the team out with picking products, testing products. My number one deal is probably testing products. Daniel gets products in, or he may order some products to test out, and I go outside and see, you know, what I think of it. And if I think it's cool, you know, we'll put it on the table and we'll continue those steps to try to put it in the box. If I don't think it's cool, then, you know, it goes in a box, you know, in the shop back here, and nobody ever sees it again.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I do. I do the ads for the magazine. So anything marketing wise with the actual content, you know, I have a big part of that, and work hand in hand with our chief marketing officer.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I remember seeing your videos back in the day. I think one of yours was actually the first thing I saw with BattleBox. And I'm like, oh, crap, man, we got to get one of these suckers. And then we were able to get Mission 8. I think that's where the zombie box, where we kind of came in and we made our first video. And, like, the rest is history with us, man. We've been affiliated ever since. We've loved BattleBox. So,
yeah, Mission 8, man, that's that was the first big box that BattleBox put out, you know, the first black box. And I remember that well, man. And y'all's videos are awesome. Like, I really enjoy watching those myself.
Yeah, that was a blast. All right, so we kind of got that out of the way. So we've got a lot of people who listen to us that are kind of at all levels with guns and firearms. So if we're a prepper, which I think you're somewhat of a prepper, right? I mean, we can call you that.
Sure.
Okay, good. So if we're a prepper and we're just starting out trying to figure out firearms and guns, where should we start? I mean, what's the first thing that we need to start doing?
Well, the first thing I think to keep in mind is what are you going to use the firearm or firearms for?
Mm-hmm.
So for looking for a best firearm or firearms, it's important to keep that in mind. What are they going to be used for? Are they high maintenance or low maintenance? You know, what's it ability to run dirty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, if you think about it in a true like end of the world apocalyptic freaking, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. like hardcore thing, the last thing you're going to want to do is spend an awful lot of time working on your firearms. You know, if you're having to use them, I mean, who knows what you're doing? You might be sliding down the side of a muddy mountain. Do you need to be worried about your firearm or worried about yourself? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nice.
That's a thing. Knowing how to obviously perform maintenance on the different firearms is important. And then what sort of ammo is not only available, but portable, mm-hmm. And effective for whatever the goal is of that specific firearm is, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So those are the first things that I would put in mind. And, you know, size and all that kind of corresponds with a lot of the you know, different calibers that you're going to go into, right? I mean,
so
you're not
going
to have a super, super small 338, mm-hmm. you know? So that's the first thing. What are you going to use it for? Are you going to use it primarily for hunting? Do you want to use it for defense and hunting? You know, what sort of firearm would be good for that? And if you have to, I'm going to use the word forage, but if you're going to have to look around for ammo, is it a common caliber that you may be able to come across? Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Not everybody's got 338 Lapuas. I mean, that probably would be a ridiculous caliber to go with. Awesome caliber.
Yeah.
However, expensive, heavy, and you're not going to run up on a house that's been abandoned and find 338 Lapuas. It's just not going to happen.
That makes sense. That makes total sense. So, you know, as a prepper, when we're looking at those types of guns, those calibers, in your opinion, you know, what are those calibers that we should be gravitating towards?
In my opinion, which again is an opinion.
Yeah, sure.
I think everybody should have a 22 long rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure most of the listeners are probably like, yeah, he's going to say that, of course. I mean, 22 long rifle is very abundant. I mean, you can find it anywhere. You can buy it fairly cheap. You can, you know, carry a decent amount of that ammo, and it's not a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
It has its limitations. I mean, you're not going to have a lot of range. You're not going to have a lot of knockdown power. But here's the thing. David killed Goliath with a rock. Hit them in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're proficient with your firearms, if you know how that firearm shoots, if you know, if you're confident in your ability to shoot that firearm, a 22 can do a lot for you.
Yeah.
Although it is a small caliber, you know, round, but definitely a 22. And then there's tons of variations of the 22s. You got, you know, survival rifles that break down small. You can take them apart. They're easy to clean. A 22 is a very dirty round. It leaves a lot of, you know, carbon and stuff behind. So, that could be a con, but most of these rifles can run dirty like that with no problem. You know, lever actions, the less moving parts, the easier it's going to be to take care of.
Yeah.
Having a semi-auto is great. And there's survival rifles out there that are semi-autos that can run dirty and run well. I kind of like the old school lever action 22 as it's a little heavier. Obviously, you can find some that have composite stocks, or you can add composite stock to them to make them lighter, but mm-hmm. it's hard to beat a good lever action 22, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know Cam has some interest in those survival rifles. Do you want to ask about that at all, Cam, there?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen, there's several varieties of, like, they have interchangeable calibers, either by, they have a cylinder or they just change out the barrel. Have you ever shot anything like that?
Yeah, I think that rifle you may be speaking of is called a Chiapa.
Yep, that's the one Chiapa. I was most Chiapa. Recently that I looked at. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, we actually have one of those here at the office.
Do you?
I did a video maybe 3 years ago. I think it was a live feed where we talked about some survival rifles.
Oh,
and
nice.
We had the Chiapa.
Go.
It was actually pretty dang nice, to be quite honest with you. It was a little heavy, but you do have a lot of options. I mean, it had 22, I want to say it had 45 long Colt, I think it is. It shot pistol calibers. You shoot 44 mag out of it.
Yeah, I think 410.
There's a 410, yeah. The problem is, for a survival rifle, I think it's great. It's a little heavy. It's a single shot, which is okay, but, you know, you're not going to want to use it in a gunfight if you got in a gunfight, obviously. But it was a little heavy. It was a little chunky. And your accuracy isn't going to be great because with that rifle, if I remember correctly, you just change the battery area to accept the round. So the barrels aren't necessarily optimum for each caliber.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, think about shooting any bullet through a smooth bore that can accept it. It's just, it's not going to be a precision rifle. But other than that, I think it's a great option, especially if you look at it as, I can only have one. What's going to be something that gives me a little bit of broader spectrum to use, if you're okay with carrying around, you're okay with changing out the cylinders and you're okay with just having one shot at a time. I think it's a great rifle.
Nice.
Ed, we'd kind of talked about if you're having to scavenge for ammo, having something like that wouldn't be a bad thing. I've never shot one. I didn't know, but makes sense to the
definitely
accuracy.
Not a bad thing because that way, whatever you run across, more than likely, if you got the proper part to go in it, you can shoot it. It's just not going to be a great all around, mm-hmm. option. I don't think it would replace maybe having two or three really good options and just figuring out a way where if you were on foot and you had to run around with these. I mean, hopefully you don't ever have to do that, but
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
No, that's great. So a 22 is something you would suggest. What are a couple others as far as calibers go for a prepper?
The 5.56 223 rifle, I think, is a great option. Again, the 22 caliber being very accessible. There's a lot of it out there. It's the same thing with the 5.56 223. You can shoot those. Obviously, the first rifle that comes to mind is an AR-15.
Yeah.
You got decent capacity. They run pretty well dirty. They're easy to maintain. They're easy to fix. There's lots of parts out there. So if something were to break and you did come across an abandoned, you somehow come across being able to get your hands on another one, you can interchange parts. And I think it's a great all-around rifle. It's good for self-defense. It's good for hunting. I mean, I've shot many deer with the 5.56. It's not the best deer rifle by any means, but like I said, a well-placed shot.
Yeah.
I know people that's killed deer with 22s. You put it in the right spot, it's going to go down.
That had to be an experience there, man.
Yeah. I actually was in a blind with a guy, and it was dark. I had, was setting up and sun started coming up. I was like, what is that? And looked over there and it was a 22 rifle. I was like, you serious? And he shot a doe and you know, she didn't take another step. He put it right where it needed to be. So
wow, nice.
So
can be done.
As far as the AR, the 5.56 or the 223, I've heard both ways on that gun. A lot of people say, well, it doesn't run great dirty. I've heard that. You know what I mean? And it's always a debate. So I mean, can you speak to that at all? Your opinion there? I know you already said, you know, it's a great all around gun, but can you speak to the naysayers a little bit?
Well, my opinion on that is I've never had an AR-15 not run because of it being dirty for me, other than if you have not taken care of that rifle. You've got to take care of your rifles. It's like the people that buy a car and they drive around 20,000 miles and they got their oil changed and they start griping because, you know, they got problems with the car. I mean, you've got to maintain these things.
Are you supposed to change your oil?
Yeah, man. Your brakes, your oil, you know.
We're going to have to do
I like factory oil.
I do too.
I've been running that since I bought the car.
I mean, it's all about maintenance and care, man. Yeah. If you're taking care of your equipment, you're keeping it clean, your failures are going to be minimal. I'm not saying that an AR-15 is not going to have issues. I'm not saying anything's not going to have issues, but the more you take care of it, the more you keep it clean, the more you learn your rifle. Everybody's rifle is different. You know, keep it clean as best as possible is going to run. I mean, I did a shooting a day with some guys where we were testing out some gun oil. And, I mean, we dumped dirt into the chamber. I mean, we took the bolt carrier groups out and threw them in the mud, stuck them back in. And lubrication and proper maintenance, your firearm's going to do okay. So people saying that they won't run dirty, well, they shouldn't be dirty.
That sounds similar to like your sex life, right? Lubrication and maintenance.
It applies to all holes. What is the so when you say with the maintenance, is there a certain amount of rounds that you recommend, like after you shoot? Like, when do you know, just obviously when you shoot a lot, you probably can tell by accuracy, but is there a certain amount or a time that you say, okay, this is time to clean this gun, or do you do it after every shoot?
It depends. A lot of it depends on as well, your ammo. Some ammo run way dirtier than others. Mm-hmm. But say it can be extreme, man. Like my competition rifle, I clean it. I don't shoot any more than 8 shots out of it before I clean it.
Wow.
But you got to understand with that, I'm trying to put, you know, 3 to 5 shots in one hole. You know what I mean? So that's more, I see the accuracy go down versus the firearm actually being able to run properly. Mm-hmm. I've got a 300 blackout that I like to shoot a lot, and I shoot it suppressed. When you're running a suppressor, you get a lot of blowback and you get a lot of just nasty gunk going in there. I want to say after about 100, 125 rounds, my rifle's really dirty, and I don't necessarily, I haven't had a failure necessarily, but you can tell when you're shooting an AR-15 and that thing's real dirty, it gets real clunky. You can kind of feel it. Mm-hmm. And it's, it depends on the gun, man. I mean, it really does. Pistols, you know, you start getting some stove piping, you start getting, not misfires, but, you know, you get jams when it's trying to load and things. Pistols run really dirty too. So I just, and after I shoot, before I put a firearm away, I clean it.
Yeah.
And I don't ever go shoot and throw it back in the gun safe.
That
for many
sense.
Reasons. One is part of the respect thing, right? Respecting firearm. And I want to be able to pass these things down to my kids, just like my dad, you know, has to me. So I want them to last, and they cost a lot of money. Might as well take care of them, you know?
No, I hear that. Yeah.
I think that's good cleaning it after. You never know when you're going to have to use it and you don't have time to clean it. So
exactly. And if it's dirty and you put it up, sometimes it'll get stove up that way, mm-hmm. you know?
Gotcha.
You go to, you know, pull your charging handle back and your bolt carrier group stuck up in there because all that gunk has had time to set up and get hard. And now you got a rifle that you got to work on immediately exactly at the point you need to use, right. Which is it.
That makes sense. So back to the AR. So one of the big debates that I've seen all over, you know, Instagram, YouTube is that, you know, the 5.56 versus 7.62 debate. Can you speak to that at all?
There's definitely differences there.
Yeah.
The 7.62 is a 30 cal, and you know, kind of in the 30 cal range.
Mm-hmm.
It has more knockdown. It has more kinetic energy. So when you're talking about stopping an intruder or stopping, you know, somebody coming to take your stuff or whatever it may be, survival situation, home protection or whatever. If I hit you with a grain of sand and I hit you with a bowling ball, there's a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, there's a difference there. Grain of sand is not going to bother me, but, and that may be a little far fetched. A 5.56 isn't a grain of sand. There's not that big of a difference there, but I don't want to be shot with either one of them, to be quite honest. I mean, the 7.62 by 39 does have more kinetic energy. It's not as flat a shooting around. So at distance, you know, you may be able to get a little more distance with a 5.56.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what are you using it for?
Yeah.
Are you shooting at something at 1,000 yards? We need to have a totally different conversation. You know, a 7.62 can shoot at 1,000 yards, but you may have, I don't know, just off the top of my head, 38 to 40 inches of drop at 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
You need to know how to shoot at 1,000 yards, you know? You're not going to as an amateur, you're not just going to go in a store, buy any hunting rifle and shoot at 1,000 yards. That's a long freaking way, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of learning and a lot of control to be able to do that. So, I don't know what specifically you're talking about,
yeah.
the differences you're asking for, but I mean, I stay in the camp of a well-placed bullet is a good mm-hmm. bullet.
Yeah.
You know what its limitations are.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, the things that I've heard, obviously, like, I don't know, and that's why I'm asking, is it'll run better dirty, you know? I guess that would depend on the gun too, but, and then also,
yeah.
So I
think you're kind of leaning more towards the AK versus AR platform.
Sure. Yeah.
Versus the round. So the AK-47 is a magnificent firearm. I mean, even, you know, you guys know Jeff Kirkham from Ready Man.
Uh-huh.
He prefers the AK-47. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he was overseas, he ran an AK-47. From my understanding, what I've read and what I've seen in pictures and stuff. Yeah, I mean, you can throw that thing, you know, in the mud or whatever, and it's a great platform. It's built to run up against an AR-15. If you put them all through the exact same test and just really got them dirty, really, you know, put them through their paces, the AK will probably lead that game all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your that's not American. That's not, you know.
Yeah.
But taking that aside, you know, the AK-47 is a bad mamma jamma, dude. I mean, it can run hot, dirty, the whole nine. The AR-15, it can too, but not quite as good.
Mm-hmm.
This will be my opinion. But I'm talking about extreme, like, literally going outside and packing it full of mud. I mean, just really extreme stuff.
Yeah.
Here is what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
And probably, I mean, you know, availability of ammo here in the U.S. would be part of a decision for a prepper, I would suspect, there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of AK, you know, owners out there. I personally don't have one. I haven't been able to afford to get the one I'd like to have yet. So, It's definitely on my list to get, but I have shot them. I have been around them, and they're impressive. You know, they do a great job, really do. I would think though that the 5.56/223 would be way more readily available here in the States than the 7.62x39.
Yeah, makes total sense.
Is that a decision maker? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with the 5.56.
So you said okay. You said a 22 would be a great one to look at for a prepper. You know, the 5.56/223. Any other ones there that we should seriously consider?
A 12 gauge is on my list.
Okay.
Having a shotgun for hunting situations and for personal protection is very, very, very good idea. For one reason is it doesn't take a whole, don't get me wrong when I say this, I'm not saying you don't have skill to run a 12 gauge, but somebody's coming through the door at you, you point that joker at the door and you squeeze the trigger, he's going to get wrapped up with something. I mean, he's going to get hit, you know? You know, a pistol or a rifle, you gotta have a little more skill. I mean, you actually gotta, you know, aim and all that. 12 gauge, you know, they call them broom sweepers or, you know, all that, but for a reason. You can run all sorts of stuff in it. You can run buckshot in it. You can run bird shots, you know, different size bird shots. Slugs, you got a lot of options, right? Mm-hmm. So, and what was it? I think it was my uncle told me one time, he's like, I don't have an alarm system. He said, I got a 12 gauge. I said, yeah. Yeah, it's a pump. He said, when somebody comes in the house, they hear that and they leave. They know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an alarm system. Yeah. So I think a 12 gauge is a good idea. For pretty much any situation you go into. Yeah, it's larger. It's not going to be easy to pack. They, you know, of course, you can't have a short barreled shotgun here in the States where we're supposed to be able to, you know, bear arms. You got to pay a $200 tax to let you have the short barrel.
Yeah.
One, it's good old infringements. But other than that, I'm not going to get on that soapbox. But a 12 gauge is a great thing to have. There's a lot of them out there. Ammo's fairly cheap depending on what you get, but you have a lot of options with ammo. Yeah. So, you know, get a slug. You can shoot at a fairly decent distance for hunting purposes if you don't want to run a rifle. I've killed many a deer with slugs. So they are effective. They're not as precision as some rifles are, but mm-hmm. I think a 12 gauge could potentially negate one or two of the others that we talked about, you know,
yeah,
as a better option. So
yeah, so now that's great. So like for you, you have to prep one gun for some insane reason. You can have one for as a prepper. What are you doing?
If I could only have one, I would probably go with the shotgun.
Uh-huh.
And that may be surprising to some, but I'd rather tote around that extra weight and have more options.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, if I overthink that, I might change that, but my first instinct would be a 12 gauge or a 20 gauge.
For the versatility, then, basically, is what you're saying.
The versatility, and I mean, out of all the Americans here that own firearms, I would say a huge percentage of those people have a shotgun of some sort.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, so you should be able to run across ammo pretty well. And you got options, man. I mean, they make a big bang and they spread out, man. Scatter gun.
Yeah.
I'd go with the scatter gun.
Yeah, for sure. No, I love it. Okay. So, and let's move on to ammo, because that's one thing that preppers are always saying. Well, you got to have this many rounds. You have to have, you know, this many of 5.56, or you're not a real prepper. I mean, for you, how much ammo as a prepper do you feel like you need to have on hand?
Define on hand.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. Like, how much do you have in your prep?
In your prep, okay.
Yeah,
I would say as much as you can.
I knew that was coming.
as much as you can. So yeah. I mean, you got financial. You got financial side of that. Mm-hmm. You got storage side of that. So I would honestly say as much as you can. And anybody that would say, well, you're not a real prepper if you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask, my first question would be, well, are you a real prepper? Because if you're only relying on an ammo stock and having a few guns,
yeah,
you've missed the boat on survival.
Yep.
You've missed the freaking boat.
Love it.
I mean, this is a part of it, mm-hmm. It's a part of the plan. But you can have the freaking army behind you and not have any other preps, and you ain't gonna make it.
No. I completely agree with you, man.
I don't care how many guns you got.
This is something we have been harping on for a really long time, and part of the reason why we started the podcast is because that's what we heard. I swear, on every prepper podcast, it's like 90% of the topics came back to firearms and ammo, and I'm just like, well, yeah, there's got to be, a different way to look at it,
Yeah, you're just a firearm hoarder. You're not a prepper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the whole dynamic, and there's other things that are important. Maybe even more important. Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this: they are more important.
Yeah.
Than having a freaking 20 pallets of freaking ammo and some guns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you've gone to the range 3 times. Like, come on, dude. Like, you can't even run the gun.
Yeah.
But you know. Anyway, so as much as you can, and I wouldn't put a huge amount of thought into, like, man, I need $30,000 worth of 5.56 rounds in my freaking basement.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to access it? Are you going to be able to move it? Are you going to be able to use it? I mean, there's tons of things here. So I would say prep as much as you can, what you can financially and what you've got room for. And
don't overlook the essentials.
Yeah. Don't overlook the, cause it's not always coming down to, when it hits the fan, it's not like it's a giant gunfight.
That's, man, I'm so glad you said that, because we've been harping on that for a long time. Everybody's like, well, the shit's going to hit the fan and everybody's going to start shooting each other. Like, I don't think that's the way it works.
I don't think so. I mean, yes, you need to protect what you got, because there's going to be people that are without that are going to be going out looking for things.
Absolutely.
I mean, 100%. Do you just stand at your front door with your guns and your family? Each one of them got a gun, and you're like, "All right, we're ready." And you just want to stand. You got to have a bigger plan. The threat of somebody coming and wanting to take what you have, rob you, however that may be, sneak in, steal it, whatever it is. Yes, that's a possibility. And yes, that's going to happen to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen to more people in urban environments. And that's probably where it's going to start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me being in a rural environment, I'm not really worried for my neighbors to be, coming at me at gunpoint to take my preps. I'm just not. Am I prepared, to defend myself and defend my property? Yes. But I'm not sitting back there like Camp Lejeune ready to freaking, World War III to happen over here. So as far as ammo, prep what you can, as much as you can, but you got to keep some things in mind. When you're storing a lot of ammo, you need a cool, dry place to do it. Heat and moisture is going to, mess it up. And then one day, 10 years from now, when you need it, they're not going to be in working order.
Yeah.
If not dry, at least be able to keep it in a cool place and then protect it in a way to help it stay dry. One thing I like to do is, you know, when you buy stuff and it's got the little desiccant packs in it or whatever.
Yep, the little gel packs.
I keep all that stuff. I keep it all, you know, throw it where my ammo is, throw it where my guns are, you know, it just helps out with the moisture
situation. That.
So, yeah, when you open up a pack and there's a little one in there, don't throw it in the trash. Use it. Put it somewhere and use it. Next thing is, can you access your firearm, your ammo and your firearms? You know, so people are like, well, I'm going to bury it out in the backyard. I'm going to, you know, whatever. Like, when you need it, can you get to it?
Yeah.
Do you have more than one entry point to get to it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of considerations in it. So these people that say, you know, they got basically, you know, 47 storage buildings worth freaking ammo. They need to be figuring out a way to protect it because somebody's going to get to it before they do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, if you have to move locations, can you move 30 pallets of freaking ammo?
Right.
Yeah.
I can't. No. I mean, you know, so prep what you can, keep it accessible, keep it mobile where you can move it. Keep it in multiple locations if you have the ability to do that, mm-hmm. but be thinking about an entry and exit plan to get to them, get them out. Can you move it? Do you need a freaking forklift?
Right.
Yeah.
That is my bug out vehicle. It's just a forklift.
Yeah, it's just a forklift. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Freaking forklifts are awesome.
Yeah.
Turn me loose on a forklift. Something's getting broke. I promise you that.
So since we're talking about ammo, do you buy cheap ammo or do you buy the expensive stuff only? Is it worth the cost savings to buy the cheap ammo in your firearms? I guess that's.
I guess you, for my prep purposes, I do kind of go the cheap route. For like my current uses and stuff like that, not necessarily, you know, but for prep purposes, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I buy what's affordable, and I'm not really concerned about the brand or the, you know, you want to get hardcore into it, the lot numbers and all this other stuff. But
yeah,
see, I mean, I do and would recommend going the budget route. For the most part, man, they're great. When you get into the higher dollar stuff, number one, some of it's just a freaking name, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like buying Nikes. You want to pay a premium for the name. When you want to talk about shooting paper and you know, having, you know, a five shot group under freaking quarter inch or something like that. Yeah. No, you're not going to go with the cheap stuff, but for a prep situation, for a defense situation, yeah, man, if you want to store up, then obviously go to the financial, you don't want to put yourself in financial peril over starting a freaking, you know, Fort Knox in your basement.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I love that.
If you're cleaning often, is it going to damage my gun in any way?
No, not in my opinion. I mean, but most stuff when you go like the cheap route is just performance and ballistics, and maybe, you know, having a dud here or there is just not going to fire.
Yeah,
I don't see it necessarily doing any damage to your gun. It may dirty your gun quicker. You know, they're using less quality powder in them and things like that. You know, but if you're maintaining your equipment and that's just your survival plan stuff, they'll be sufficient.
So, do you think as a prepper, should we be looking at reloading at all? Or is that, in your opinion, is that not really super important?
I've done reloading for many years, and to be quite honest with you, I can't really sit here and tell you that I've really saved a lot of money reloading.
Yeah.
You have to reload an awful lot of ammo to see a decent movement of the needle in favor of saving money.
And does that depend on the round as well?
Yeah, it depends on that and the equipment to do it. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there with a single press. You're not gonna be banging out a whole lot of ammo. I mean, if you really want to get into it and get a stockpile going, you're gonna need a progressive type press that can do multiple steps at one time. And you're just going up in money.
Yeah,
you're going up in money. So once you sit down and you say, okay, well, I've spent, I don't know, just make numbers easy, $1,000 on this equipment. Now I've got to spend X amount of dollars on material and supply. This one bullet may even cost you more than if you'd have bought, a deal at the gun store or at the gun show and just bought bullets that were already put together.
Yeah.
But if you want to do that, and yes, it's a great way to, to have ammo. I mean, I enjoy reloading, but I reload specifically to try to make the perfect bullet from a competition rifle.
Right.
Yeah. I don't reload for a massive amount of ammo. I'm just trying to get that perfect recipe so I can put a bullet hole or a bullet in a bullet hole,
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of subjective. It's a great pastime. I enjoy it. I mean, it's kind of relaxing for me to sit down and do that. But, You'd have to put out an awful lot of money and work and time to really build a huge stockpile of ammo reloading. So
yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. I would recommend knowing how to do it and having an understanding of it and maybe having some of the basic tools to be able to do it. So if you did run into a situation where you needed to,
yeah,
you could, and you understand it and you know how to do it, but I don't see a huge benefit in it.
Okay.
I was going to ask you that. As a gun owner, knowing that or having that skill, you think is valuable enough to?
I do.
Okay.
I do. When I and this is kind of a curse. when I get into something, I go full bore, man. I mean, thank God I never got into racing because I'd be broke right now.
Broke is a joke.
Oh my God. So when I get the blinders on something, man, I go all in. So when it comes to firearms, man, I think it's really beneficial for you to know the full spectrum of firearms, understand how they work, understand the bullet, understand ballistics of the different calibers. And I don't know if that's just me being weird or whatever, but I'm all about the math of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm all about the full spectrum of it. But I think it helps you understand how a firearm works, how ballistics work. You read all these awesome stories about Chris Kyle making these long shots. You know what I mean? He didn't just put crosshairs on something and pull the trigger. There's a process. He understood ballistics. He understood what that bullet's doing.
Mm-hmm. There's a science to it.
There's a huge science to it. It's amazing. When I really got into shooting long range competitions, I had no clue. I just knew I was a good shot. I knew that I had dropped some deer at the X amount of distance, and I was like, oh, that's fun. Let me see if I can stretch it. Right. And I got to learning. I was like, holy crap, you need no trigonometry to freaking shoot a rifle. Man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do it. So I got into it, started learning and understanding. I mean, the rotation of the bullet changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to know that. You got to understand. I know guys that do these competitions that shoot at a mile. They have to shoot 8.5 by 11 target at a mile away.
Whew.
A freaking mile, man.
Yeah.
They're out there with freaking little wind things. It's telling, I mean, they got freaking calculators out and all kinds. It's nuts. It's math. That's all it is. You know what your muzzle velocity is. You know the weight of the bullet. You know how much it's going to drop at a certain distance. You know how fast it's spinning and how far to the right it's going to take it over a certain amount of distance. And you calculate all that in your brain right there, and you freaking pull the trigger and you hit it or you don't. It's all about math.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Well, I'm going shotgun then.
Yeah, that's why I say shotgun. Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to use a rifle.
So we never really talked about pistols.
Yeah, and I do have questions.
What's your question?
Okay.
Well, I have money set aside right now, and I want to know. I know you said you don't use a lot of pistols, but I know you have experience in it. What would you say is probably, like, if you could only buy one pistol, what caliber type? What would you get?
I would say in the caliber range for the same reasons as everything else, accessibility and being able to be in a popular round would be a 9mm. Yeah. I myself am a 45 ACP fan, but in a survival situation, in a situation where I may need to find ammo or deal with whatever ammo I find, I feel like a 9mm is the way to go. Mm-hmm. Next question would be, do you want something that's going to require more maintenance or less maintenance? Less maintenance is going to be, your revolvers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Way less moving parts. You don't have to worry about a lot of failures that you do with semi-autos. But you're also dealing with some weight. They're heavier, there's more metal involved. You're dealing with capacity. You're not going to have any more than, six shots typically in a wheel gun. Some have more and some have less depending on the caliber. Your accuracy, unless you get a really long barrel pistol, which the longer it is, the heavier it's going to be and the more aggravating it's going to be to carry.
Mm-hmm.
So then you look at, your polymer guns, your Glocks, your Springfield Armories, your M&P shields, more going on, semi-auto, lighter. Maintenance is higher, but not that difficult. I mean, Glock is a very popular pistol. A lot of Americans have Glocks. So if I had to pick, I'd say some fashion of the Glock 9mm would probably be my go-to on that. This is a prepper gun situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I myself, for my concealed carry pistol, is a 45 ACP. It's a Springfield Armory. I like it because it's fat and slow like me, and it packs a punch.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but, I mean, a 45 ACP is a popular round, but are you going to find more of that than you are 9mm?
Yeah.
I think 9mm. I mean, the military is using 9mm. Most law enforcement uses 9mm. So it's a proven round as far as its effectiveness for what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be plenty of it out there. What gun? I think, man, that's personal preference. In my opinion, when it comes to pistols, you really need to go to a place where you can shoot them. Some gun stores have shooting ranges, and you can rent the gun to shoot it. It's really so Daniel is a huge pistol fan. He's got a bunch of pistols. And what fits for him and what he likes doesn't always jive for me. I got larger hands, I like a bigger gun.
You know what large hands means? Yeah. Don't tell bad Daniel. Slow, that.
I'm 100% going to tell him that. So,
so he's just shooting 22s. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is it pink?
38, 22s.
Yeah.
380s. Which some people knock a 380. I actually have a 380 for the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't want to carry my 45, I carry a 380. It's not the Kel-Tec. What is it? Can't remember the name of it. Anyway, it fits right in my back pocket between my butt and the freaking wallet. Mm-hmm. You never know I got it.
Nice.
I mean, it's perfect.
That's awesome.
More of a get away from me gun. It's not really, I mean, there's been people seriously injured and killed by 380s, but you know, some heavy clothing can, you know, mess that whole situation up with that round.
Yeah. So we don't have a lot of time left. As far as training and being proficient with all of these types of firearms, I mean, what do you suggest? Where does somebody start in that area?
Well, obviously, depending on where you are, if you're in an urban environment, most times you're going to have to go to a range,
yeah,
and go to a place to, you know, pay to play, which is a great thing because most of these places do have proficient firearm instructors. They can help you out, you know, number one, understanding, you know, safety rules, how to properly handle the firearm and teach you, that would be get out and shoot, man. You gotta go out and shoot. You gotta get comfortable with it. You gotta find out what kind of firearm does, you know, jive well with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to in a situation, in a stressful situation, you don't need to be worrying about anything but handling what needs to be handled and running that firearm. So training is a big deal, and finding the proper firearm for you it's, you know, you see people on videos, like in some of these videos of people shooting 12 gauges and they're flying out of their hands and they're falling over and all that. It's not that, you know, they're holding a howitzer off their shoulder or anything. They just don't know what they're doing. They don't know the proper stance. They don't know what's fixing to happen.
Yeah.
So just going to a store, buying a gun and saying, I got a gun and I'm going to be able to protect myself. Well, you're wrong. You're 100% wrong. You have no idea you're going to pull the trigger and it's going to scare you worse than the person you're shooting at. And so, you got to get out and train. You got to try different firearms, find the caliber and the size and the weight and the style that fits you where you're comfortable. And the more comfortable you are, the more you're going to train, the more you're going to get better and better and better at it.
Yeah.
So in an urban environment, definitely go that way. In a rural environment, I'm sure if you ask, there's a buddy around that's got plenty of firearms that would love to go out and shoot. Now, does that guy know what he's doing? I don't know. He could, might not, but most do. And just go out and learn and practice with some others and find somebody that's got a variety and then kind of go from there. Or go into town and get some, you know, hardcore professionals to show you how to do it. So,
yeah.
Just get out and shoot. Get out and shoot. Respect the firearm. Learn it, and it'll definitely come in handy if you ever need to use it. And God forbid, I hope I never have to use any of mine outside of shooting a critter.
Yeah.
I have zero intentions of shooting another human being. I do not want to take another human life. It's not on my list of priorities. You know.
Sure. Right under, take the trash out, kill somebody.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm going to go cut the grass and shoot that guy over there. You know?
Yeah, I tell you. No, man, it's thank crazy. You so much. That's so helpful
I think
for
it's
us.
Super helpful, yeah.
You got anything else on firearms, Cam,
before we let this guy go? I really think for preppers, you answered all the key things that we mm-hmm. want our listeners to hear. Yeah. So,
yeah. So before we let you go, though, I should have asked you this before, but can we get any leaks from the next mission or any hints, anything? Don't be looking for Daniel.
One lucky subscriber is going to have.
I'm looking down.
Oh, I see.
I pulled one out of my hat there.
Yeah.
Leaks for the next mission.
I don't know if you have that authority at this point or not.
I don't, man. I'm not on that hierarchy of it.
All right.
But what I can say is, or somewhat say is, mm-hmm. some huge, huge, huge news is coming late spring.
Good. I think I might know what that is, possibly.
So just a short few months away.
Uh-huh.
That I really can't, it's huge. It's going to be huge. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. Everybody's going to enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's going to be awesome for the community of BattleBox and you know, current and future subscribers. So
yeah.
The next big event that's coming up, obviously, is Blade Show.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that's listening that'll be in the Atlanta area, typically it's the first weekend, I think, of June. We'll be there. So come see us and hang out and have a good time or whatever. And we'll talk about prepping and knives and all the gun stuff, whatever it is you want to talk about.
Beautiful.
And so we're always there, and hopefully by then we'll be able to let the news out of the bag. I don't know if it'll be ready.
Yeah.
Any of those conferences, like when we met up with you guys in Salt Lake, your booth was by far the most popular.
So much fun. Yeah. Always a blast.
Yeah. It's like a party, man.
Yeah.
It's like really a big was. Party.
It's like a party with knives and stuff.
And blankets.
You can't beat that.
Yeah, and first aid kits.
Yeah. Well, when you have knives, you kind of have to have first aid kits around, especially if Cam's there.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a fun show, man. That was a fun show at PrepperCon.
Yeah, it was a blast.
It really was. Too bad.
Y'all need to come to Blade Show, man.
That does sound awesome.
Yeah.
We've gotten, from BattleBox, completely addicted to having knives.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thanks for getting us addicted to that, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we got many more coming.
Yeah,
you
incredible guys selections.
Drool over and everything, man.
We're excited. Curran, thank you. We appreciate you coming on. You're the man. If people want to find out more about you and what you got going on, where can they do that?
They can find us at battlebox.com, battlebox.com. Of course, we're on all the social media sites. Your Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Use code casual preppers.
Use it. That's what they got it for.
Exactly.
The usual with all that, man, Twitter, the whole nine, you know, BattleBox, BattleBox, no E. We don't use the E.
No. We ain't got time for that.
We ain't got time for the E.
We ain't got time for E's.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Yep. Good time.
See you.